Okay, this is March 7th, and the topic this month is core beliefs.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I want to apologize for last week. I'm sorry everyone came, and the room was occupied by other people. And these things happen in life, so we cannot go crazy about it. We could have yelled and screamed instead of us and threw these people out. But I think we handled it very well. We just said that's reality, and that's the way it is, you see. The reason that what most people have trouble in life is because they're superior to reality. They think they're superior to reality. Whatever is going on, you have a choice. We could have carried on last week and made a big fuss, perhaps got the room, perhaps not. But there's no sense to that anymore. I don't do that stuff in life. You look at reality and you change your mind. So we can't do it. We'll do it the next time, that's all. This is part of learning how to go through life, is to realize that the reality that's in front of you, you have a choice on how you're going to react to it. And it's always that choice. Am I going to get angry, mean, and mad? Or am I going to be gracious? And I always think the answer is to be gracious. You know, didn't hurt any of us to have a night off. So that's it. Also, I want to tell you that I'm glad that you people are here, and that I hope that this idea that you're one with this thing that we talk about, this thing that we call God, you have to be one with. I told you before, I flick around the stations to watch the different evangelists, or whatever you call them. None of them have a good word to say about human beings. They immediately tell you that you're rotten, you're mean, you're loaded with sin, and the whole works, instead of telling you that you're magnificent beings. I don't get it, but that sells. Being magnificent does not sell. If you walked into a place and said, I'm magnificent, people look at you. If you walked in and said, you know, I'm a horrible sinner, and you certainly are, come right here and sit down. Yeah. So where that trend started, I don't know. But I do know that we have to stop it. You have to know that you're a magnificent human being. So that brings us to the topic tonight, core beliefs. We may have discussed this years ago about core beliefs, and I think they use it in psychology. But a core belief is from here, from your inner being. I don't know how many people exercise. They always tell you about your core and exercising. If your core is strong, you can do things, this thing. So this core belief, what you keep in here, is what's going to manifest on the outside of life. Now, why did I decide to do this? Over my birthday, my brother called, and we talked, and I said, how are things going? This, that, and everything. He said, well, I have to get a new furnace for the house and a new furnace for the flower shop. And I said, oh, that's awful, Jack, or something like that. But I said, you'll be able to do it. I said, why do you think this is happening? He said, just my luck. This is just my luck. Now, that immediately reminded me that that's a core belief. He thinks he's under the wrong star, or he has bad luck all the time. And I know that because as a child he was that way. And I remember when he had his daughter. His daughter was, some babies are born with their hips out of place or something, a hip, I don't know what that's called. But they fixed it right away, you know, the baby. And my father said to me, that's just Jack's luck. Everything bad happens to him. Everything bad happens. These are core beliefs. And these beliefs are rampant in the land of Nod. And I would have had that same thing if I had stayed there. I would be believing the same stuff they are believing, because we are also puppets of our conditioning. So we haven't done it for the longest time, but I remind myself every day that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Those items have to become a core belief, so that you're operating from your core beliefs always. So look at my brother. He has a good life, but he doesn't believe that he has any luck whatsoever. Must be very difficult to go through life that way, to think that something bad's always going to happen. Now, I would never equate my furnace going out with I have bad luck. You said, I wouldn't enter my mind. But anything like that, that they are under that umbrella of bad luck. And if you have that as your core belief, what do you think is going to happen? You're just going to continue to have bad luck and to be able to prove it. And then you have to prove it. When I grew up, my mother and father used to always say, any car we buy is a lemon. And then they'd go out and buy a car and it would turn into a lemon, because that's their belief. So you have to see what your core beliefs are. So many people say, well, I don't handle money well. Why would you want to say that to yourself? That's a core belief. You have to change that. I handle money very well, you see. It's always with this, whatever you're thinking there, these core beliefs will guide your life. They will absolutely guide your life. And that's what's happening with my brother. His idea of bad luck, even though he's been here, people think he's absolutely charming and all, but this festering underneath all the time, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop and something's bad going to happen and all. Why do you want to do that to yourself? You don't want to do that. You want to change these beliefs. So during the day, say to yourself, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Get that as the core, so that everything that you're thinking about is colored by that, by those four items. And then they will become your core belief. So life is very wonderful once you realize that you're causing it. Once you realize that your core beliefs, and you can figure that out. How many times do you hear people say, oh, that always happens to me? That always happens. Well, if you keep saying that, that becomes a belief. And then it always starts. Because when you say something like that, your mind has to prove it. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, your mind will always prove it to you. If you say, I'm poor, the mind will say, yes, you are, and it will show you why you're poor. You see? And, you know, people who have no money, aren't they always losing it somewhere? Did you ever notice that with people? I have no money, but I just, oh, I put that, I lost this life. The mind does it. It has to prove it all the time. Anything you say, the mind will prove. And the mind doesn't care. People think that the mind cares. The mind doesn't care. You are the one that's controlling that. So we have to get to that point again to realize we are not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. On Saturday, I went to see An Act of God down at the Dorothy Chandler. And the last, it wasn't very good, people. But the acting was good. Sean Hayes. They did new do 10 commandments. And the last one was, thy shall believe in thyself. You say, thy shall believe in thyself. Everyone wants to put it out onto God. You say, you don't want to put anything out on God. God is God, and God's going to remain there. And God will come to your aid and do all that and back you up, but you have to start the process. You have to first say, I am abundant. I am prosperous. Make those your core beliefs so that that comes in to you. So it doesn't matter. I hear people say, I have no money. Oh my God, why would you ever say to yourself you have no money? Even if at the present moment that may be the truth, you do not look at that part. You have to say, money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And in your own life, you can one day have nothing and the next day have tons, can't you? It's your core belief that's driving you constantly. And it's this mind. You have to control the mind when it tells you all that stuff. So with my brother, the mind saying to him all the time, you're unlucky. And he's heard that, not only from himself, but also, I'm sure, his wife and children back him up in that. Oh yes, Dad, you're right. I don't want to be around people that back up a horrible thing like that. You say, I want to be around people who say, no, that's not right. You are abundant. You are prosperous. You are lovable. This is what we want to hear from the world and from our friends and so forth. Who wants to be around friends that tear you down? I don't know if you remember the lady who got this room for us, Carol. Does anyone remember Carol? Remember, she used to go to the coffee shop every morning and they would tell her, you look this way or that way, your clothes, whatever. They were always putting her down. And her boss even said to her, once you look like a drag queen. Mm. And I said, well, why do you keep going? Well, they're my friends. I said, they're not your friends. Don't be around people that put you down like that and make fun of you and so forth. That's, you know, that's not what we want from ourselves and from other people. But Carol, and this is, she hasn't been around for a while. She did get married, by the way, in case people don't know that. She married a judge, in fact. She's doing quite well. But her core belief is she's not worth anything. You know, if you're around people long enough and through their conversation, you can tell what their core beliefs are. And we want to change this. And we're able. We are quite capable of changing any belief. How do I know that? Because I've changed mine. I have changed my beliefs. And I now believe only what I want to believe and only a belief that gives me wonderful benefits. That gives me wonderful benefits. Why would I want to believe anything that didn't do that for me? You can't. You have to see what's going on in your mind or in these core beliefs. People are never taught that about core beliefs. Very rarely. Does anybody know what a core belief is? That is exactly what it is, and you have to have that, and then that radiates out and draws to it the same thing. Just draws to it. You know, there's so many things in our language that use metaphysics I can't think of the words. Well, anyway, I'll give you an example. For years, have we not said birds of a feather flock together? That's metaphysical. Metaphysical. People of the same mind will always be together. People of minds different than us you know, I say hello to them, I'm nice to them and all, and if they want to come over and listen, that's fine, but I don't force them to do anything anymore in life. You can't force people. I'm more concerned with my own self and what I can say decent to other people. I don't need to argue with those people and do anything with them. They have their own life, and they have picked that way to go through life. We, in metaphysics, have picked a completely different way to go through life than most people do. My brother and the people in the land of Nod, they would never believe any of this. Never believe any of this. I have a friend, Leona, who I went to school with. She was a minister's daughter. And now she plays all the time. She was an organist. And she plays in a church all the time. And I love her. And we talk to each other. I never bring up metaphysics. I never bring it up because she's completely steeped in whatever religion that is that's out there. Oh, I forgot. I had these last week. I wanted to do these. We have been hypnotized by our cultural history into believing we are less than expressions of God. This is Joel Goldsmith, by the way. He was a Unity minister. And isn't it less than expressions of God? You can't be less than an expression of God. And you can't be sinful. And all these people these ministers on television, my goodness, by the time they're finished ranting and raving how bad you are, who wants to listen to them? I don't want to listen to them. You know, and they started right out with that. They start out with that. You're horrible. Ugh, weird. And then I found this, and I may have read this to you once before. This is just information. 84% of the population belong to organized religion. 84%. 7.7 billion people, that's how many people are on the earth, out of that, 2 million Christians. There are 2 million Christians. Muslims, 1 billion. Hindus, 850 million. Buddhists, 400 million. And 10,000 distinct religious subdivisions. 10,000 distinct religious subdivisions. I couldn't come up with them. And 34,000 different denominations. 34,000 different denominations. Everyone has an idea of what religion should be, what God should be. You must form your own opinion of what religion is and what God is. No one can tell you. I don't care if it's been going on for 2,000 years or how long it's been going on. Most of this stuff is twaddle, and it is misrepresented. Now, why they do that, I have no idea. And so many people who think that the stories in the Bible are absolutely true, there's something wrong with them. Because, first of all, the Bible didn't come into existence to 500 years after most of the events in the Bible. So by then, it's like the old game. Remember when you were children, you played telephone? You whispered in somebody's ear something, and they whispered to the next. By the time it got around, it was so distorted, and now it wasn't anything. With what? And this sometimes, not sometimes, I'm going to make the biggest statement in the world all the time in religion, and especially in the Bible. And I'm not knocking any of those things, people. I'm just looking at them differently. I do believe that the Bible is a holy book. I believe that. Bible, by the way, only means book, you know. It doesn't mean something divine or anything. The word Bible means book, the book. So they put a lot of stuff into that, and there is something, because of all the years it's been read and done, there's some power there. There's something going on there. What it is, I do not know. But it's something. And I told you when I went to Israel, I liked the country. I was at all the spots that Jesus was supposed to have done this, that, and the other thing. I was in his tomb. I was in Bethlehem. We had to go under guard to Bethlehem because they were having some kind of a misunderstanding. But none of these things did one thing for me. I was delighted to see them. The rest of the people in the group, the ones that were the best, were we had a husband and wife ministers, but they were Watusis from Africa. And she would go crazy in all these places. She could feel, she could do this, she could do that. Couldn't feel a thing. I didn't. And I always try because I go by feelings. You know, I got more from the Vatican. I thought the Vatican, overwhelming, the Vatican. So, by the way, if anyone's interested, they have Vatican treasures at the Ronald Reagan Library this month. So if you want to see that. And then I'll go into the idea that poor Nancy died on Sunday at the age of 94. So anyway, these core beliefs are what's going to guide your life. They are guiding beliefs. They are powerful beliefs. And they are changeable beliefs. What you believe as a child, you no longer believe, do you? You have changed those beliefs. You have to keep checking out what's going on in my mind. What is causing my life? I'm going to delve into it and find out, I didn't know I believed that, this, that, and the other thing. So, you see, my brother never would delve into anything. Of course, usually in the land of Nod, they're never going to talk about the mind, and they're never going to get help for the mind. Because if they get help for the mind, they're going to admit that they're crazy. And they will not admit that. They are normal people, you see. They will not seek help. They are too proud to seek help. What will they seek instead of help? Pills. They will take pills. Up one side down the other to stop whatever depression or whatever they're having, but they will not talk to somebody and clear it up that way. I always say, or I used to say, talk therapy. Talk therapy is wonderful, just takes too long. It takes too long, that's all. Who wants to spend 20 years, you know? And I know many people. I had a friend, Stanley. He went for 20 or 30 years because he was in business with his uncle and he hated his uncle. And oh my God. So after that, I said to him, well, after 20 or 30 years, has it worked? He said, no, I still hate my uncle. You have to want to heal yourself. You have to want. I don't blame it on the therapist. I had a woman that came to me for 2 years. Every week she wanted to come. I said, fine. And I would. Finally, one day she said, you know, in these 2 years, I never understood anything you were saying. I said, well, why'd you keep coming? Why do you keep coming? So many people, I guess she thought eventually she would be healed or something. I don't know what she was even looking for. And I told her that. I said, I don't know what you want. And if I can provide it, I will. But I couldn't. I could never figure out what she was up to. And her core belief was she never thought she was enough. You know. And you have to know you are enough. You have enough, and you do enough. And those are the three things the mind will pick at all the time. The mind will say, and my mind does it, Dallas, you should be doing something. Well, what would I be doing, you know? But you have to be busy. That was a belief that I inherited from the land of Nod. At my home, if I sit down, or my brother, or anybody sit down, my father would look at them and say, "Can't you find something to do?" Because they believed any idleness was the devil's workshop. You had to keep busy. And they did. They were, most of them were hyper. They were so, because they had to keep it. Because once that mind went, it went. I think I told you this story before about my sister-in-law. She can't do the ironing. Because if she stops to do the ironing, her mind turns in on her. She has time to think about things. She doesn't know how to think the right thought. So that just, so she, I guess, sends it out. I don't know what she does, but she will not iron. Now that's absolutely ridiculous, to let your mind do that to you. They do not know that. They have no idea what a core belief is. Now you people have been around long enough to realize what a core belief can do. And that's why years ago we started the matter dance and all, so that you realize that you do matter. I still have clients, when they come and I say, "Do you realize you matter?" They practically start to cry, because they've never heard that they mattered to anybody. You know, you have to matter to yourself. You have to start to realize what a magnificent being you are, and that you are one with the whole universe, and that you can use that power to bring into your life what you want. So look at yourself and see, what are my core beliefs? What do I really believe? Do I believe I will never make it? Do I believe I'll never have money? You know, a lot of people believe they'll never have money. And why? Well, my parents never had money. We never had money in the family, so therefore I can't have money. You know, that's ridiculous. Money is attracted to everybody. You see, there's always out there money. But if you say, "I can't get it," you're not going to get it. You have to realize that you can have that money. And there's no sin in having money. There was no sin in that. We were taught that too, weren't we? Money is the root of all evil. And it is not the root of all evil. I know tons of people with money. They're very nice people. And I think it's wonderful they have money. Because if you have tons of money, you can give it to people. You can help other people. And that's what this whole thing is about. Not hoarding stuff for yourself. I'm over the idea of collecting anything or having anything. I'm trying to get rid of stuff, you know. I don't know if I'll be able to accomplish it, but I'm going to keep trying. I don't need 7,000 pairs of shoes and stuff like that anymore. I can live without any of that stuff and live very well. And that's the world pulling on you, people, when you think you need all that stuff. That's the world telling you that. Because it lies. Because the world's commercial. It wants to make money all the time. And it wants you to give it to them. You know, they want to take your money. Don't let them. Don't let them do it. So with these core beliefs, if you can change your core belief, you can change your life. So figure out, what is my core belief? What is really going on in my life? Why I'm still at this point in life? If you're still at the same point in life, it means that there's a core belief going on that you have not changed into something that will be beneficial for you. And you can easily do that. Now, we know the idea that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So you can use that to build up this core belief system. You can use that one. You can use affirmations to do it. You have to keep feeding your mind with good things. And most people feed their mind with garbage all the time. You must feed it with good thoughts. And you are allowed to make up those thoughts, people. You don't have to wait for a good thought to come. You can make one for yourself and tell yourself, I'm changing my core. I'm changing my beliefs. I'm now seeing things differently. And we are seeing things differently. This teaching teaches you to look at things differently. I know religions that I grew up around, Methodists and Baptists and all that, those people are still at the same level they always were. They never think a new thought. And you have to learn to think new thoughts. You have to do that. And you have to know what is causing all this. What core belief is causing my attitudes? And then you change those attitudes, the outside world starts to change. You see it completely differently. So look and see what. But this idea, and you know, I got that back when I'll talk about that play I went to see. If you're thinking that God is going to get you out of anything, God's not going to get you out of anything. You have to get yourself out of it. You have been given everything that you need. Now you have to use it. You have to use it. In the Bible, they say the gift has already been given. The gift of mind, the gift of everything has already been given to you. So many people are waiting for something else to happen, and then they're going to change. Everyone wants an epiphany. Well, you may never have an epiphany, but it's all right. You can do it yourself without all that. And if you think that God, or this person they call Jesus, is going to descend from heaven, I've got news for it. It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. That does not mean there wasn't somebody by the name of Jesus. It does not mean that there isn't a God. But you must look at it differently. You must see all the beauty and all the love in the world and in yourself, so that you can go out in this world and make something of yourself. The world is a wonderful place once you realize that you are causing it. You are the world. You are the thing itself. And for the people who have read Ernest Holmes, he always referred to God as the thing itself. And you are the thing itself. So, we're always looking outside of ourselves for everything when we should be looking on the inside. We should be looking at what core belief is causing me to do this, that, and the other thing. For my brother to think that he's unlucky and use that as a core belief, I found it heartbreaking. I never said a word to him. He has to figure that out. I'm not going to say Jack. No. But it's heartbreaking. Here he is. Jack is 74. And he's at 74. Thinks he's unlucky. First of all, in this teaching, there's no such thing as luck. We don't talk about luck. What are you, a gambler in Vegas or someplace? No. There's the law of cause and effect. And you can learn to use it. And it may appear, oh, lucky, 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 lucky. But we want that all the time, don't we? But we don't say, I'm unlucky. And we don't know. And we do not believe that luck is a substance of some sort that you can hang on to. No. It's a word that we use. It's a situation that we get ourselves into. But with thinking, we can get ourselves out of any situation that we have put ourselves in. So, now, shall we talk a moment about praying to God? I think you should pray all the time. I'm with Paul. Pray without ceasing. Will it help? Yes. Prayer always changes things. It changes you, you see. So that's why we pray, so that we change ourselves. Many people think they're going to talk to God and change God's mind. Well, you can't change God's mind. God's mind is completely set on what? Love. God loves you. You are the beloved in whom he is well pleased. These are the things that you want to pass through your mind and make them a core belief. I am the beloved. I am the beloved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Most people don't know that. But you are. That's all the people. And we'll look at our friend and we'll use his name, August. Lovely, lovely person. But he does not know that he is the beloved. He's looking for somebody to love him. He's looking for love. You can look for love, but most people look for love in all the wrong places. You look for love inside of you. Build that love up. Make that your core belief, that I am love and I am the beloved. And then you won't have all this turmoil that's going on out there. Somebody must tell me that they love me. Tell yourself that, please. Tell yourself that you love yourself. And love will come to you. The right person will come to you and all. But most people have a core belief, and you know that core belief is going to draw other people with the same core belief. And if you think you're unlucky, or if you think you're not loved, what are you going to draw to you? People who cannot love. They have no idea how to love. So these are the core beliefs that people live with. And as I said, when I talked to my brother, it was a heartache. Really, it hurt me. Because I could hear it in his voice, and I knew right away it was a core belief. And there's no way I could have changed that. He has to change, but they don't see it. Because they're living with people that are saying the same thing. Oh yes, an unlucky world, oh that's too bad, all this. Instead of saying, I'm delighted that I have enough money to pay for all of this. Two furnaces. Buy them. You know, I always say to myself when someone, thank God I have the money to pay for this. I don't let it go into yelling and screaming and beating my chest and so forth. I say, thank God I have the money to take care of this. And you do. You always do. So why? But now see, with my brother I knew perfectly well, he'll also be upset because he has to spend money. Well, you're not going to get through this world without spending money. You know. So, think of your core beliefs and don't become 74 years old and think that you're unlucky. See, look how much time he's wasted. I mean, the appearance, since they all dwell in appearances there, the appearance is he's wonderful. He's a businessman. He has a nice house, nice cars, two children, grandchildren. To the outside world, he looks like a complete success. And I would tell him, and I often say, Jack, you're very successful. But he thinks he's unlucky. So all the success in the world is not going to change that attitude. He must change that attitude so that he realizes that it's all right, that he's okay, and that this thing, they're the two that go to church all the time. They must be going to one of those televangelists who tell them they're sinners and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that to yourself, people. Tell yourself how magnificent you are, that you are worthy and you're deserving and you're totally lovable, and that you matter. Know this for yourself. Would you want to live with somebody who thought they were unlucky? Must be dreadful. Must be dreadful. I feel sorry for his poor wife, but she probably thinks she's unlucky too. You know? Who knows? But they're core beliefs, and that's what I want you to realize, what a core belief is, and that you can change that core belief. You can change it, and you can do it by repeating whatever it is that you want. Affirmations are wonderful for such things. I do affirmations all the time. When I first got into this teaching, I did affirmations 24/7. You know, I was in the real estate business, and I would do one affirmation from one red light to the next, from one red light. I'd change at each light. And I did that all day long. All day long. You have to. How else? If you can think of it this way, when you want to change your mind, think of your mind as a fishbowl filled with water. And every time you make an affirmation, you're putting a stone, a little pebble, in that bowl. Eventually, that water, which represents all the negativity in you, has to come up and flow over the bowl, and your bowl now is filled with little stones. That's what you want to do with your mind, so that you don't have all those negative thoughts going on. We don't need negativity in this world. Why we think we need negativity is beyond me. I want nothing but positive things going on all the time. So, change your core beliefs. Find out what they are first, then change them. And do it with affirmations. Do it with talking to yourself. You're always talking to yourself anyway. So you might as well have a nice conversation going on. And listen to what is happening in your mind with these core beliefs. And you can change them. And it's a wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.